Morning, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu, the first of this week. And this is a crucial week. This is a week that leads to May 29, when Nigeria will be having a new president sworn in. Okay, so there are two issues I'd like us to look at today. The first, of course, is the Supreme Court ruling that's going to take place, the Supreme Court judgment that is going to take place on Friday, May 26. And if I take the Daily Trust as my resource material, it says that the Supreme Court has slated May 26 for judgment in a suit seeking the disqualification of the President-elect Bola Tinubu and Vice President Shettima. The Apex Court panel on Monday, that's yesterday, fixed the date after listening to lawyers in the matter. The suit was brought by the PDP government. Alleged that Tinubu remains a secure candidate and the Apex Court on the date of cover case. Speed on the ground of Okan, okay, I'm a million. The PDP Apex Court, the man married. And then they announced for suit. How today?
I'm very well, thank you. And you?
Yeah, fine. Now, the Supreme Court has ruled that ruled on Monday that they slated Monday for the judgment of May 26 in the suit seeking the disqualification of the president-elect Bola Tinubu and the vice president. And the suit, which was brought by the PDP, through its counsel, Michael Zekome-San, alleged that Shettima had double nominations as senatorial candidate and later presidential running mate. So
I'm sorry, I lost sound for a moment. I didn't hear the last sentence.
Okay, the suit brought by the PDP through Michael Zekome stated that Shettima had double nomination as a senatorial candidate and later presidential running mate. Right. That's what the suit. So either of two judgments will be given.
Right.
Can you just give us a sneak analysis on whichever way it might go? Not necessarily to predict the way the Supreme Court will go, but that we should expect either this or that. Can you lecture us on that, please?
Well, honestly, I'm not familiar with the subject matter of the case. I understand from your summary
that
there's an application to challenge the original nomination of one of the candidates in this election.
Yes.
Well, of course, anything is possible
for
the court. And if that technicality is valid,
yes,
the court will then be faced with many questions, frankly. One question that must arise in any case relating to elections is whether any court other than an election petition tribunal has jurisdiction to determine the outcome of an election after it has taken place. So what you indicate as factual basis for this case is that there was a problem technically with the sequencing of nominations or presentation of a candidate.
Yes.
And in some previous cases, this has been considered to be significant by courts. So the first challenge is going to be whether a court other than an election petition tribunal can take a decision which affects the outcome of an election.
Okay.
The second question that arises to me in all cases relating to elections, and I'm increasingly disturbed by the fact that rather than winning an election by the numbers, which is the purpose of an election, that political parties and candidates rely heavily on the courts to reformat or the result of a popular decision. Now, this is previous cases in Bayelsa, for example, or I think in Imo, where the court, by technical decision, decided that the numbers didn't matter. This is seriously problematic for the democratic experiment.
Yes. Because
democracy is about the rule by the majority. And elections should be only to determine what is the opinion of the majority. If the courts are now deciding cases on the basis of technical legal arguments, rather than asking themselves a fundamental question, this is an election, what is the purpose of an election, The purpose is to determine the will of the majority. What does the majority say? This should be the paramount consideration. But I recognize that we have, in our recent political history, given tremendous power to the courts to decide the outcome of elections, which includes reversing the popular will. So these are the issues, so the factual issue. And then there's a physical issue, the context of our democratic experiment, whether we can survive a democratic dispensation if we take it as normal that the will of the majority can be reversed. The only way, the only place an election or any political contest should be determined is by the ballot, by the number of people who voted. So the only question before any court should be, do we have, does a candidate have the highest number of votes and nothing else? That's my personal view. So I think that it would be interesting to see if the trend for which, by which courts determine political contests in Nigeria continues to be sustained. And if this sustains, then ultimately we're going to have rule by judges, and that's very problematic going forward for the democratic experiment.
Well, I quite understand that. Is there, okay, so even if the ruling were to take cognizance of this, would it be that the election should be conducted all over again? I mean, is there a remote possibility that that could be it? Or would it be just to disqualify the candidates and give it to the next person if he goes that way?
You know, it's highly technical. Most elections are decided by the head of the ticket. That is the leading candidate, not the governor, not the deputy governor, not the vice president.
Yes.
Now, in the previous case, in the Bayelsa case, an impediment.
Hello? Oh, I missed that. Hello? I think it's in network. Oh my God, we lost that now. What do we do? Hello, Yemi? Okay, we'll try and see if we can reconnect with him. Is he back on by any chance?
No.
Okay, let's use this. Let's see if we can use my phone, okay?
Okay, I think we have him on another line.
You have him on another line. Okay, let's pick him up. Hello, Yemi? Can you hear me?
We're calling him back.
Oh, okay. All right, so I'm talking to Mr. Yemi Candy Johnson, SAN, and we were talking about the implications of the judgment that will be delivered on May 26th. And he had expressed, the fact that it's quite unfortunate that, matters like this will be decided on technicalities. On whether a man should have run for election or not, whether he was qualified or he did the right or wrong thing. And I quite agree with him that it's a bit worrisome. He's back. Hello, Yemi, can we hear you now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, now. Yes, you were saying.
Yes, so I was saying, it should be possible to predict with some degree of certainty what the decision of a court will be on any legal matter.
Yes.
That certainty is part of the authority of the court and is part of the stability of the system of judicial administration. But in many cases recently, decisions have come out of the courts which would be difficult to predict by an ordinary jurisprudential process.
Yes.
And that infuses both uncertainty into the judicial process and diminishes to some degree the confidence that people have in the judicial process.
If we were going to take a bit of your worry, but surely the technicalities must be met. So therein lies a dilemma. Would you allow, if conditions have not been met, there must be something to be done, to make sure that the process is simple and through.
There's a legal maxim, which may well be applicable. It is de minimis non
curat. Oh, I see.
Substantially, this is why even the electoral law, the law says that it recognizes that there will be discrepancies or irregularity in the conduct of such a massive logistical event.
Yes.
And the basis for challenge is that there was substantial non-compliance.
Non-compliance, yes.
So the philosophy of electoral law is that minimal infractions and irregularity, which do not affect the result, will not be recognized by the court.
By the court.
Is the test.
Okay.
So in any case, the basis upon which you determine what is significant or substantial is on the purpose of the election. As I said earlier on, The purpose of an election is to determine the opinion of the majority.
Mm-hmm.
If a technical or legal issue does not affect the opinion of the majority, then it may well be considered to not be substantial. But then what is substantial is a decision for the court to take. The court may take the view
that
a defect in the nomination of a certain individual may affect the validity of the presentation. But then the result of that decision would be to upturn the will of the majority. If that was the case, then the problem is beyond legal, it's political. And every electoral decision, whether there is intervention by law or by poll, is going to be determined by how it works on the street.
Okay.
If it's not accepted in the political terrain, then it doesn't really matter what the judges say.
Okay, I heard that. The other issue, of course, you can trust the social media, is that there's this rumor making the waves that, oh, you know, Nigerians are never short of that, that, oh, there's pressure on the president to declare Friday a public holiday so that the Supreme Court would not sit and so on and so forth. I find that a bit far-fetched, though. But just for the record, just for people to understand, can the Supreme Court sit on a public holiday? Is there anything in the law that says they can't sit on a public holiday?
Well, the first thing is that...
Hello?
And I wouldn't necessarily give them...
No, I didn't hear that. Can you please say that again?
I said rumors are things that fly about in the air. Anybody can launch a rumor. I wouldn't give credence, first of all, to
yes.
But to go to the issue,
yes.
The days on which courts sit are days which are not public holidays, not Sundays. This is normal. In other countries, courts have determined to sit on other days. The court can determine, either by consent of the parties or by itself, to sit on a day that is not a juridical day.
Okay.
It happens in the UK, for example. The court is sat on a Saturday or a Sunday by special decision of the court.
Yes.
So it's not necessarily fatal. And if the Supreme Court decided to sit on a public holiday, there will be no way to interfere with the legality of what it has done because there's no court higher than the Supreme Court. But it seems a bit silly to float this idea that somehow you can impede the decision of the court. If the court doesn't give a decision on a public holiday, it can give a decision on the day thereafter.
Yes.
The law is the law. If the Supreme Court gives its decision in the middle of the inauguration or the day after, it doesn't affect the validity of what the Supreme Court has done. So these speculations and these rumors are just the result, in my opinion, of mass hysteria. A lot of people become hysterical because of their political anxiety.
Yes.
They invent theories which will give them momentum. I try not to be moved by hysteria.
Well, it puts them on a kind of high, you know.
If you like drugs, well...
Okay, Yemi, thank you very much. Unfortunately, I think next time I will insist that you come to the studio. Give up your golf right. for that day and
bye-bye.
Then you come to the studio. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so I was speaking to Mr. Yemi Kandi-Johnson. Apologies for the audio and the interruptions. To be honest with you, we're still trying to get a hang of this new studio that we've moved into temporarily, as it were. So please, I apologize. Our lines will be open. When we take a break, I'm trying to get Komi Ademilui, who was a one-time editor of the Financial Punch way back then, and also editor of the Democrat, you know, and I was going to take his own analysis on the new refinery that was commissioned, the Dangote refinery that was commissioned, to take his views on that. That will do after the break. But for now, we'll take your views, we'll take your questions. Well, we can't take questions because Yemi is gone. 0700-993-993-993. And the female line, of course, is 0146-57190. 0700-993-993-993 and 0146-57190. Do we have any callers yet? Okay. We'll be open up to taking... We'll take your calls. As usual, the normal rules will apply. I'm going to be asked that you try to be less emotional and just give us, you know, your views and so on and so forth. Do we have any? Okay. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Yes, sir.
Go on, please. You have just a minute.
Yes, sir. It could have been easy to predict the outcome of that petition. Having seen what the Supreme Court has done in the case of Uche Nwosu, the in-law to former governor of Imo State. But you can't predict the Nigerian court, because you've seen the case of Akpabio and the current Senate president, where they have a double nomination, and the Supreme Court still declared them as a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
That is why on this election petition, I've always said that the judiciary is on trial, not even the APC and the INEC.
Yes. Okay, all right. I guess that was Dambaba. Do we have another caller? Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. Morning.
Hello, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Uncle Jimmy. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Okay, so I've been listening to the FCN, and I think I have a divergence from his point of view.
Okay.
And I think much more important than contesting the election is the process that actually brought the candidate into power and the qualification. So it's not just maybe it's the will of the majority, but I think before you contest the qualification, a candidate should be qualified, and that's what the Supreme Court has been called upon to interpret.
Yes.
And if the Supreme Court finds that a candidate is not qualified or was not qualified to actually contest in an election, irrespective of whether it's the will of the majority or not, I think the court will be right or could upturn that decision.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that election or the selection of the candidate. So that was just my point of divergence.
Okay. We really can't talk about what we expect the judgment to do. You will remember that I asked Mr. Candy Johnson, the question I asked him is, what are the two possibilities, either one or the other? But, you know, I'm not sure whether you can actually be saying that, okay, definitely this is what it must be. I think we need to be a bit careful about that. I don't think the law allows us to do that, okay? All right, so let's please note that. Hello, good morning. Hello? Morning.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Jimmy Disu.
Morning, sir.
Yes, I actually do not have any contribution at the moment. I just called to, you know, thank you for always showing up for people like me that want to wake up and listen to your show and be informed and be educated, so we are not ignorant. Thank you very much, Mr.
God bless you. Thank you. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, sir.
Morning.
Yeah, my name is Ugo.
Yes.
Yeah, I also appreciate the fact that the Supreme Court is going to take a judgment on that.
You have to speak up, please. I can't hear you properly.
Okay, I said I also appreciate the fact that the Supreme Court is going to take a stand on that judgment. But then, we know what Nigeria is all about. And the case is, you can also predict it. But make up, because it is something that is in court, we cannot be prejudiced. But I know that if it is followed well, we'll have a justice.
Okay, thank you. We're going to take a short break and then we'll be right back.